Welcome to Energy Unleashed, a unique podcast that kicks off each episode with an energy update of an actual client healing session from Suzanne Worthley, a full-time intuitive energy practitioner and holistic healer. Suzanne openly shares real client challenges and fears from health issues to personal relationships to ghosts and land hauntings to death and dying and more. Directly following each energy update, Suzanne invites co-host Kim Hess to join her in Unleash to present the human perspective, share real-life experiences, and offer professional energy tactics to help you navigate life here on Earth and beyond.
Welcome, everyone, to another Energy Unleashed podcast. This is Suzanne Worthley, and I am here with my co-host, Kim Hess, who we are going to bring in a moment. I usually start these podcasts out with what we would call an energy update. What that means is, as an energy practitioner, I am fortunate enough to work with actual clients each and every day that bring forward their personal stories, and they allow me on an anonymous basis to share their information with all of you so that we can all learn from one another. And then I bring Kim in. Hey, Kim.
Hello.
We're going to drag her into this to unleash it or unwind it or dig deeper into the subject matter in just a moment or so. But first, I want to start out with the actual information. This one is super interesting to me because it directly relates to myself. This is about a star seed client, and it is not just one client, by the way. I have several what we would call star seed clients. So for those of you that might not be familiar with what that is, a star seed simply means someone who feels as if they have had many more lifetimes on other maybe planetary systems, in other kinds of embodiments other than specifically we would call human, just doing things differently, looking at life from a different perspective. And we're going to deep dive when we get together with Kim on some of the attributes of a starseed, because a lot of these people seem to end up in my office because I myself am what we would call starseed. And this is not something that is an easy lifestyle or life period. And a lot of these clients, this is not just one client, this energy update. This is several, like a combination of several clients that struggle with being highly activated. They are not necessarily feeling like a starseed is a gift. They do not necessarily see this overly sensitive kind of lifestyle as something that is, oh, wow, this is awesome. It's more like this sucks. And we're going to get into that with Kim because it pretty much can be, overwhelming, I guess. So this particular one, though, I'm going to zero in on one client in specific that I just had recently. And she is very, very gifted. She has always wanted to fly under the radar with her gifts, however. She has a two-year-old child, is married with a two-year-old child right now, and is pregnant with number two at the time of this actual recording. And she's basically what she would call herself an introvert. She is comfortable being, kind of on the edges and under the radar, like I said. Now, this particular client session happened on the end of COVID or on the heels of COVID. This particular element is very similar to people, period, across the board, client-wise, not just starseeds. People have been very comfortable with COVID, and we're going to talk about that with Kim. That's one of the things that we are finding. People almost have a post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yeah, PSTD. Wow, those acronyms. With COVID, because they are struggling with coming out of that kind of nesting and getting back to what we would call quote unquote normal, which makes me totally laugh because what the heck is normal? I mean, there is no flipping normal. And so, but this is more about being seen again, getting out into the energy of what is going on here. So a starseed can be very, very triggered, and we're going to get into this with Kim too, because a starseed will be triggered a lot when they are uncomfortable in their energy field with something that we call an Armageddon program, and we'll get into what that means. An Armageddon program is very, very common for people that feel like they have been in other planetary systems or other planetary timelines. But what that does is it will trigger a lot of fear and a lot of unrest or a lot of abandonment issues. The starseed themselves struggles with being what we would call human, and that isn't even a joke. The starseed is very uncomfortable most of the time in a human actual vehicle, meaning a meat and a bone and an organ and a blood and existence. It's very difficult. And so between these programs and implantings of memories and feelings of Armageddon, this triggers a lot of isolation and abandonment. And that is what is dovetailing right off of this COVID situation. I don't want to go out in public. I don't want to be seen again. I don't know how to get back to normal. This is very stressful. And again, this does not just mean a starseed is going through this, but the starseeds are amplified in their experience in this. When we get together with Kim here in a second too, I really want to examine what an implant is, because a lot of the starseeds will feel implanted in terms of, you know, like I have limitations, but it actually feels like something's actually in my actual body. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too, because that is a real thing for a lot of starseeds, myself included. And how do we, you know, deal with that? And what do we do about that? So I gave some very, very specifics to this particular client on how to handle themselves in terms of their sleep state. And we will go into that when we sort of unravel or unleash this with Kim too, because there are some specifics that we can give, some tactics that we can give in making the starseed and or just the normal old human, that's no value attached or not, to anybody that is listening. So again, as always with all of these podcasts and anything that I do, please take what resonates, toss the rest. We are not here to tell you what to think or what to do or what to believe in. These podcasts are here to share information, to give out stories and see what resonates and see what doesn't. So I'm going to toss it over to Kim. Now, Kim, when we look at the concept of star seed, I don't think that you've ever really thought of yourself as a quote unquote star seed, if I may be so bold, correct?
You can be bold. It's very good. Yeah, I know. I haven't.
Right.
I've been asked that question many times through like probably the last 5 years or so. It's like, what star seed are you? What are you from? Are you Orion? Are you like, what are you?
Are you Palladian?
I really haven't thought of myself that way.
Well, here's the deal. You are because we all are. We all literally come from the stars, right? I mean, originally our bodies, our essence, our true soul self comes from eons and eons of star experiences mm-hmm. and different vast planetary systems. Whether we remember them or not, I think is the difference. And so when we call someone a star seed, this is someone that actually is having more, I would call it maybe visceral memory, intuitive memory. I can feel it. I can know it. I can sense it memory. And it doesn't mean anybody is better or worse. There's no value attached to anything when we talk energy. But the starseed memories are very different. And some of the attributes about a starseed are, I don't really like my physical form so much. I don't trust it. I don't feel like I fit in it. Sometimes it feels old and antiquated. It doesn't move right. I can do things quicker when I'm out of my body. My telepathy is so much easier. All of these things are a struggle. The other things for starseeds are overwhelmed in places and spaces. It's like too much noise, too much light, too much sound, too much vibration, too much frequency. Lots of times the starseed is the life of the party and they're in the middle of the room and they are like drawing everybody in. But boy, oh boy, do you feel lonely at the same time. And that's very confusing for a starseed. The starseed always feels like their family is somewhere else. Oftentimes, no pun here, they stare at the stars trying to figure out where they came from or seeded from. And so this is an indicator also of a loneliness or a disconnect. And so this is important for us to not make fun of those kinds of people and find some compassion or some empathy, because they really do struggle in so many ways, whether they even know it and or articulate it or keep it all to themselves. And so a lot of them end up in my office, basically. Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit, if we can go back to, because when you're the attributes that you just listed, the disconnect, because I think that even feeling more earthbound as I am, there are times I feel a disconnect or I feel abandonment or I feel some of those things that are beliefs or different things that are already in my, you know, fields. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how is that different from a really knowing you're a starseed?
I think the difference is that we all have primal wounds within our DNA. We come in, and that's a great question, by the way, because we come in with primal wounds. We come in with a disconnect. We come in with this feeling of there's not enough, or I'm not enough, or I'm not safe, or something's wrong, or someone left me, or I'm searching for something, but I don't know what it is, but I'm searching for it, but I'm not sure what I'm searching for, but I know I'm searching for something. And it's this kind of like mind, monkey mind, you know, thing that goes round and round inside of us. And so that's, I think, what we would call a typical scenario for many humans. The starseed takes it up a notch or 10 because usually the starseed has highly activated senses. And this, one more time, is not a value. It doesn't mean they're better. In fact, it makes it more difficult. Their hearing is heightened. Their sensing, their smell, their touch, their vibration, their frequency, everything, their knowing, their empathy, everything is heightened, and it makes it very difficult to even stand in a room, for example, with lots and lots of stuff because it's noisy and it's overwhelming. I have found myself leaving actual concerts with my own family. I remember years ago, we were all so excited to go see this one band that everybody loved in the family. I'm talking my children and my husband, and we went off to this thing, and I thought I was going to just jump out of my skin. Oh my Lord, I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here. I couldn't. It was just too much. The people in the room, I could hear their thoughts. I could feel their feelings. I knew what their body felt like. And then you add on all the music. It was just too much. And I gracefully now bow out of all of those. At first, that was a little frustrating and kind of a fight. And now they completely understand. They're like, they just book it without even asking at this point.
Well, and does some of that for you have to do with the vibration and frequency of the music? Is that part of?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the music on top of the vibration and the frequency of the people and the place. Now, just remember, the empathing ability of a starseed psychic empath is like times a zillion. So I not only feel the energy of the music, but the people and the place and the building and the land and every other dead relative that came into the party and so on and so on. So it can be completely overwhelming. So the starseed, there's many versions of starseeds as well. Again, we all come from the stars, so you are a starseed. Mm-hmm. And the more that I have worked with Kim, I mean, gosh, you've been a client for a really long time. When I first met Kim, she was very, very, and this isn't laughing or judging, you're very 3D and didn't even know much mm-hmm. of anything as far as galactic or galactic history. And the more that you have worked to open up your senses and your psychic awareness and your abilities and your fields, etc., you now know that you resonate towards a certain Vegan galactic history. When you look at Vega or hear of Vega, you know that that heart resonates for you. That planetary system, that life, certain planets draw you in, etc. So this is a learned thing, a learned base of knowledge for many people. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of starseeds just come in with all of the knowledge, in fact, too much knowledge. And most of us do not have context or family maybe, or mentors or teachers or friends or anything to say, hey, you're not nuts, so you just think you're crazy. You know?
Yeah, I think learning gradually, I appreciate that opportunity to do that because I can't imagine walking in with all of those sensories, just like you said, times whatever that you feel and sense and all. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like for a starseed coming in with all of that.
And as a child, you know, if you do not have awareness, we are so fortunate now because of things like podcasts like this, you know, and we unleash these kinds of stories and tear them open and throw it down pretty honestly and brutally. There's people out there that are listening that are going, holy crap, my four-year-old does this, you know? And we used to think the four-year-old is unruly or the four-year-old is introverted or we have to fix them or they're broken or there's a million ors to this. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully these discussions and bringing this stuff forward is assisting others to go, nobody's broken. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fixed. fixable. You know, we don't need a fix. It's not a thing like that. It is simply different.
Well, and everything now has a medication. No matter what you have, there's a medication for it.
A starseed pill. I love.
But anyway,
the red pill or the blue pill?
What? So talk about, because you mentioned that your client was very gifted. Mm-hmm. So we talk about the gifts, because you were talking about the attributes.
Very intuitive, very empathic. And a lot of times what will happen is that empathicness will turn into empathing, which is a whole nother subject that we talk about on different podcasts and classes and such. But empathicness means I can walk in your shoes. I can feel what you feel. This is heightened for the starseed. Empathing means I take it from you and I make it my own. The starseed that is uneducated can do both. The starseed that is educated in terms of empathing is someone like myself, and this doesn't mean I'm fancy or cool. It means I'm trained. It means that I will specifically empath with you and become you and merge with you 100% for my work, because I will be you so that I know what is going on inside of you, and then I will, in a skilled mechanism, pull out from that and pull away from that and completely sever that so I don't take you home and or take on your whatever pain, your agony, your illness, or whatever. So there are all kinds of levels of these gifts, but oftentimes the starseed will be very empathic, very empathing, very telepathic, very sensitive in terms of knowing. The hard part about being a starseed is you just know. You just know a lot of stuff. And when people are like, well, how do you know that? Then that becomes tough, because it's a cognitive. I don't know how I know. I just know that I know. And usually you are right. And so this, whatever right means, right? But it is very difficult, because then it's like, oh, crap. Now, you know, people think you're arrogant because you're always freaking right. Well, you are right, because you have more resources to be pulling from. Mm-hmm. You have bigger, vast knowledge. You have awareness. You have wisdom. You have all kinds of things. And so this gets to be misconstrued. People will think that starseed personalities are very arrogant. They also think that you have no, the irony is they think you have no empathy. They think you have no compassion. They think you have no kindness or patience. And the starseed will get really frustrated because you just think everyone's effing stupid. I mean, because in your opinion, they are, because we've done this 1,000 times, and how do you not remember it? And how do you not know it? And how do you not get that this is not, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll get on those little tangents super easy because we've done it 1,000 times and have those memories. Whereas the most typical person will have that complete amnesia and not know that. So there's a frustration level inside of the starseed that is very difficult to not only be, but to live with, right?
So if you're untrained, I mean, I can't imagine what, think about the relationships in your life when you cognitively know things, but you don't know why you know them. You know, and what that relationship with people that are close to you, what that turns into.
Especially a partner.
Right.
Or a parent.
Yeah.
And I have another, you know, it's funny, we're talking about one specific client here, but I have another one who's very, very similar to this gal. In fact, very similar. And she has a husband that is always like, because she's always telling him what to do, because she's right. And she always turns out right. So he does the,
here we go again,
you know, and it's so 3D. It just makes me laugh, because I remember many, many years of Chuck doing that. Well, he still does 38 years later, but it's not easy being, that sounds so, it's not easy being right, because again, right is relative.
Well,
right?
I would think that you'd almost guard what you put out there sometimes, because you don't want to go through the whole thing. Or the, you know, criticism of, where did you get that information?
Yep.
Like, why did you look it up on, did you Google it? You know, where did you get it? What did you read that you would know this?
Yep.
And you didn't. It just comes through.
And it comes through, and I don't even know how to describe this in words. It comes through so completely. It comes through in every ounce of your being, your knowingness, your essence, your soul. But even in your body, it comes through your bones, it comes through your blood, it comes through your organs. There's a knowing that is so completely deep for many starseeds, and that's very overwhelming for someone that has, again, no context to work from. It's like, what is wrong with me? Do I trust this? I don't even know what this is. And so starseeds that have no one as a support system very often become introverted. And this is what was happening with this particular gal, because she does not have an actual outside support system too much. I don't think anyone's necessarily making a whole lot of fun of her, but she just keeps it under the radar. Mm-hmm. This does not behoove the growth of the starseed. It doesn't behoove anybody to stay under the radar. But when we had COVID, and even though we're so-called coming out of COVID and it's, you know, now it's back to normal, people are having really, really hard time with that. This is the post-traumatic syndrome of COVID. It's like, oh, shit, now I got to be seen. Now I actually have to go out and engage. Now I have to go to places. Now I have to walk in that flipping energy again, and that sucks, you know? And this COVID excuse was really great for many untrained and uncertain starseeds. And it's very hard right now because they're having a really difficult time. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it totally makes sense. I think even for people who are, you know, like for me, I always feel more earth grounded than starseed, even though I know I'm a starseed. Even for me, it's hard, you know, to make that entrance back into everything.
Yeah.
While I like the social, I also have really enjoyed the quiet and kind of doing my own thing.
And I think it's balance of both. Mm-hmm. Truly, I do. I think it's very much balanced. The hard part for a starseed, again, is when we do have a lot of quiet time and or if we get triggered in different ways. I brought up what we call the Armageddon program. So what that means is because the starseed has had traversed in so many lifetimes and planetary systems and different bodies, having memories, different timelines, etc., there's an implanted memory of things going wrong. I mean, complete annihilation, myself included. I have very, very vivid memories of stepping off of a spaceship and walking onto a planet with 100% devastation, knowing fully that I was responsible from a very high caliber position in the Federation, responsible for the death of that, you know, whatever, the planet, the system, the people, the whole nine yards. And when I was younger and not as versed in this stuff, I took that out of that meditation with shame and guilt and huge fear. And what that would do would then trip what we call Armageddon. So then it was like, oh shit, I remember killing multitudes of people, blowing up planets, destruction on spaceship. We're talking like living Star Wars for real. And so this Armageddon over and over will traumatize the starseed. Now, a lot of the times the Armageddon is not even real for that particular starseed. In my case, I believe that I actually was involved from the Federation standpoint in terms of the job, but some are just running the tape. Some are just running the narrative. And regardless if you're running it or you were there, they're still super traumatic. And when we run those narratives, what that does then is it puts an over umbrella of fear, destruction. Oh my God, there's not enough. We're all going to die anyway. What the hell am I even doing on this planet? All that and the hamster wheel in
is
your
head.
Is that
considered an implant then? Or is it?
Good question. Yeah. It can be an implant or it can be real. So what is the real and what is an implant? It may be an actual past life memory. It may indeed be a past life memory. However, it may also be a reading of what we would call the Akash, meaning before maybe I came into this human body, I read the records of that planetary destruction or those wars. We have the Orion Wars, the Electric Wars. We have a lot of interplanetary wars. Maybe I read the files of those in between lives. And so I have a knowledge base of that, but it wasn't maybe what we would call hands-on experience. So that's number two. Number three can be what we would call an implant, meaning I have implanted memories of not just Armageddon, but the actual experience. So now I have implanted memories into my psyche, into my field, into my narrative, my matrix, whatever words you want to use for this. I have implanted narratives, memories, physical reactions, triggers, etc. And so where does the implant come from? You're going to ask?
I'm looking at you going, but who does that? Where does it come from?
Your eyeballs got really big.
Why would they do that? Come on.
Yep. Her eyeballs are getting really
big. As I'm looking at your alien in the corner going, no.
Down
no.
in my office, the big purple guy in the corner. The implant can come from various ways also. So now an implant can be it's not necessarily an anatomical thing, but it can be. It isn't a thing that actually goes into my actual body or system or skin, but it can be. So it can be both. So we can have an energetic implant. We can have that implant put in by ourselves. Now that sounds weird, right?
Before we decide to come into this body?
Yeah, because I may keep myself in check until I am remembering what I know enough to be able to handle the memory. Because if I get too much information too quick, I can go into mental shutdown. I can go into crazy. I can go into mystical depression. I can go into, I think I'm going to lose my marbles here. And so the vastness of the outcome will be determined by our own self in between lifetimes to say, hey, I'm going to hold this back. This is something that I've already discovered and experienced in my own body, is implants to hold me back to a certain extent until my vibrational frequency is at a level that I can mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually handle the information. So we oftentimes will implant ourselves. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's very true. Now,
well, and for you, because you had experiences as a child, then it was kind of put away for a while. Right?
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Put on the shelf. And then it started coming back again as you were doing certain work.
Yep. And I would open and open. So many of my implants were self-inflicted. It's not even the right word. Self-implanted. And they're energetic. At the very same time, however, I know within my humanness, my human form, my actual meat and bone structure, mostly the meat structure, I have had actual things in my body that different, this is way back, that different people like a healer or a massage therapist that was highly intuitive would touch a certain space on my body and their hands would fly up and they would say, I can't work on you. And this has happened multiple times to me in the past. Yeah.
Wow.
Talk about feeling like you already felt like a freak, right? And so that like put that through the roof. I had like seriously people say something is right there. And it was always the same spot, mind you. I can't work on you. Your frequency scares me. Your body has a different resonation. I can't work with you. I mean, it's happened probably, I could safely say a half a dozen times. Now, that doesn't sound like very much, but think about it. That's a lot.
It's, yeah, because you're not getting massages like every week or whatever. Yeah.
And that's a lot. And I'm not going to touch that spot on your body. And on one, that specific spot on my body, I did work with another energy healer and do a lot of removal, not just one, in fact, like three, to remove that so-called implant. So was that a thing? Maybe or maybe not. But I also have had little pieces on my body where you would call like a little gouge out of your skin and it wasn't there before and it is now. That can be the implant going in or the implant going out. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that sound a little crazy and weird, but it's not like, oh, it's a big motherboard in your body. It's a, you know, little nano something or another. And those can be for a multitude of things. They could be for tracking. They could be for your higher, you know, a soul family keeping an eye on you and your experiences, et cetera. It doesn't all have to be a creepy sci-fi movie, you know?
I don't know. It sounded like creepy sci-fi to me. I'm
like, thanks.
You wake up and there's a little chunk of, you know, out of your side or whatever. I'm sure that this is for someone who doesn't have anyone to talk about this with, that I absolutely understand the introvert isolation kind of behavior.
All while being an extrovert. Try doing that, right?
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, you are. Right.
But you're an extrovert because your energy field is such a higher caliber.
So
everyone's drawn to you. So they want you, your information, your light, your being, your energy. And at the same time, you're like, yeah, but this is all just like, I don't even fit in here. I don't fit in here.
I never thought of extrovert as being on the external coming to you versus I always thought of it as your internal more desires or needs as a personality to go out.
Yep, not necessarily.
That's so interesting.
Think of your frequency. So your frequency is like that fly to light, little bug. This is fun. Let's go over here. This is more comfortable. All of that is your field that you're carrying, which is a higher frequency. So it's more exciting. It's more, you know, but at the same time, if that starseed doesn't know how to do that field, they get vampired and they get tired.
Right.
And then they have to go vampire.
Because I can't imagine walking into a bar you know, with a lot of people, and how
it's overwhelming.
Like, if you're not protecting yourself, how your energy is just
sucked,
like, totally sucked away from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you add in, like we said, the concert, for example. The concert itself will suck the energy right out of you. The frequency of the music will suck. And so you're in this vampiric mode of going back and forth. So, you know, when it's time to move an remove an implant or not is really comes from divine guidance. The better that you get at this, you just know. A lot of times the implant will be around the throat area. Mm-hmm. Because we aren't ready to hold our truth, or we're not ready to receive truth. What is truth? Until we understand truth is only mine and not yours, and yours is yours and not mine, and et cetera, et cetera. So when we find ourselves getting to a level of wisdom or knowledge, maybe this is the time that that implant becomes able to be removed. And sometimes they just are organically dissolved and transmuted, but other times you just need help, you know? Mm-hmm. And an energy worker will find those. I've had many energy workers find different, what we would call varying levels of implants on me. They're not all, again, hardly ever are they anatomical. There's not a thing, but they're energy. And so this will correlate directly with, if you're ready, are you ready to go to the next level? Are you ready to bring in this truth? Are you ready to speak your voice for real and not feel vulnerable, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes along with your spiritual growth if that kind of resonates.
So if you're someone who's sitting out here listening to this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I never thought about being a starseed. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. Like, what? So you said finding someone to talk to about this, but an energy healer of some kind?
I would start to Google or look at things online, or find an like finds like community or some resonating information. And whenever you're on the internet, of course, God forbid, please use your body as a tool to say this is real for me or this is crap. Because there's a ton of crap out there, but there is a lot of information. Now, starseed has become like one of the new buzzwords in the last, 10 years? Everybody wants to be a starseed. Well, okay. First of all, you are a starseed, so just move over, you know? But a true starseed has a lot of difficulty in terms of fitting in. Frustration levels are very high. Not feeling like anybody can really hear you or see you or sees things like you do. It can be very lonely. So these are some of the attributes. There is a really big yearning to go home. This is one of the biggest things I want to bring out. A starseed that starts to spiritual journey oftentimes thinks that they want to. This is, such ignorance, because I did this too.
You did this, I remember.
Oh, I just have to go out there and find my galactic family, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to go out and connect. That only makes it worse, because then you got to come back to this thing, and then you're sad. And I would wake up all wet from crying during meditative practices, like, what the heck is going on? And you'd be mystically depressed, because it was like you just left your whole family somewhere, and now you're really all alone. So thank goodness my guides helped me to understand, bring that inside of your body. Don't go out as much, go in. And it seems counterproductive, or it seems counterintuitive, I guess, to think that, oh, I'm going to go out to find my starseed galactic family, but I'm actually going to go in to find my galactic starseed family. So that's one of the meditative practices that I highly suggest is
bringing in. When you say going in, though, does that mean bringing in the energy of the galactic family in through you?
Yeah.
In your human body to experience that?
Yeah, and bring it into your heart space, because, you know, we think that these galactics are so much more cool than us, or important than us, or so much more, oh my God, they're so advanced, they're so amazing. We're the amazing one. We're on a planetary system with a body that is a miracle. And we keep dissing this thing, and most starseeds don't like this thing. We feel it's antiquated and old, and it doesn't work well, and it's not fast enough. And it's taken, I still struggle with it, you know that. I still work very hard to understand, stay in this body, and understanding the body itself is what's important about being a starseed, is to have the experience of the humanness on a planetary system here is what is critical, or you wouldn't have signed up for this.
I was going to say, you didn't. That's part of it, is that you decided to come here for a reason, to experience all of it, you know, with this body.
And you've already done the other stuff. Yeah. You already did the, you know, blue skin, scaly thing on another system somewhere else. You know, you're now sitting here staring at the mirror so mad at your body, which I do every day. So I'm still in the midst of this training. And it's very important to look at that and find honor and grace and ease and understanding mm-hmm. and empathy and love, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a hard exercise every day.
Right?
It is. It is. Hard. And no matter what you listen to out there, you know, when it has to do with energy healing or, updates for what's happening right now from an energetic perspective, it all goes back to the same thing. You need to love yourself and figure that out. And it's so amazing how off track that can go.
Because the starseed thinks that they got plunked here.
Yeah.
The starseed, even more than any other kind of a vibration in these human bodies, feels like that the mothership left. And you're like, oh, crap, when are you coming back? I can't wait to get back on board and get the hell out of Dodge because mm-hmm. this just isn't fun. And that has got to get work done if you're going to find any semblance of self-love or balance or find that that inner knowing of I am safe. I am here. This is it. This is the mission, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and if you don't accomplish your mission while you're here, does that mean you potentially come back again? Or like, how does that work?
I don't think a starseed is any different than any what we would call typical person in that regard. Anybody that doesn't finish their so-called mission or their book of life or their Akashic reason for coming mm-hmm. will always return if they choose somehow, some way to finish the lessons, whether that's on planet or in between or on somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The lessons will always be finished. But for the starseed, we always think that I want to get out of here because this is not the place I want to be. And we forget this is indeed the Garden of Eden.
Right. This is like gorgeous right? compared to other planets.
And because some of those starseed planets that I remember going back to aren't exactly this
no.
in any way, shape, or form. And yet we think for some ignorant, stupid reason that they're better because they're not on planet. It's yeah. weird, right?
I mean, the animals and the plants and the water and the blue skies and like you said, Garden of Eden.
Yes, very, very interesting. So mm-hmm. one of the things about the starseed to learn how to activate and get friendly with the body is the feel center
mm-hmm.
because we over feel everything. We don't like to feel everything. So oftentimes we shut down some of the feel centers and that's actually counterproductive. We want to unleash
mm-hmm.
all of the feels and make friends with all of the, you know, myriad of feels that we have available to us. That doesn't mean that we do them every day, all day the same. We just experiment and we move the energies through those feel centers. But a lot of times starseeds will get overcooked or overdone mm-hmm. and crash and burn in ways yeah. in life and then shut down feel centers. So that can be very dangerous.
Well, I think balancing that has yeah. to be really difficult depending on what you're doing every day. You know, I would see that especially if you become more of a little bit of an introvert, you're able to say no to certain things to give yourself that quiet time. But if you're working or in a place of a lot of energy, people, you know, whatever that is, you don't always have a choice. You know, so
well, you always have a choice, but
well,
you don't think you have a choice.
Right. You don't think you do because you think you need the money or you need that job. Yeah. Right. But balancing that has to be really difficult.
But this is one of the reasons that, again, that starseed thinks that COVID was such a blessing because it's our so-called socially acceptable excuse to say no.
Mm.
The goal of the human, whether you're starseed or any level of anything, is to not need a socially acceptable reason, having the actual personal choice reason in free will to stand up for what I want is the goal.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the truth barometer. One of the things that I told this particular starseed, and I work on myself as well, is a lot of the what we would call maybe not great energies. I don't want to say negative energies because that puts a bad spin on things and it puts fear into it. But a lot of these implanted memories, these Armageddon messaging, the inverted programs that come through our brains, etc., all come in what we would call 4D, meaning our astral plane. And most of the time that astral plane is being programmed or uploaded or dicked around with in sleep state. And so most of the time I tell a kind of like newer starseed that it is very important to not only lock down your own personal auric field in your own bubble. Your own bubble is your best friend as a starseed and as any human walking this planet, to be able to discern what is around me, what is in my, you know, outer perimeter here. Is there other beings in the room? Is that fear mine? Is that whatever mine or not mine? This is the discernment tool. But when we get bigger and we play bigger in the sleep state of the 4D realm, it's almost important to extend that bubble concept into our actual sleep state 3D realm, meaning locking down my bedroom before I go to bed with intention. Now, you can take this from A to Z. You can just literally, I intend to be, you know, only my highest and best good comes in tonight. Nothing else gets to be in my realm. Or you can go to the extent of actual physical and heartfelt connection to a ritual of locking your room down. And when it's a person that is really struggling with a lot of this stuff, I encourage them and invite them to think about actually locking down your room with, you know, what, maybe intention or a candle or a prayer or whatever. So oftentimes I will do the corners. So I will start with the east and then the south and then the west and the north and then father above, mother below, and then myself. And I do that in my bedroom. So the east side of my bedroom locks down, the south side of my bedroom. And I see it oftentimes like massive mini blinds or, you know, like almost like, I actually see it much like a spaceship has, on the, old Star Wars or Star Trek when they'd go shields up or shields down or whatever. That's how I see it. Like whoop, shields up or down, you know, and I see that locked down. And you can do all of the earth, wind, water, fire, north, south, east, west, but you can also do the angelics, mm-hmm. meaning that there's an angel for every one of those realms. And you can call upon these different attributes or deities or forces of nature, whatever you want to do or call them. It's all intention, but it depends on how big or ritualistic you want to go. It's really personal choice, mm-hmm. you know? Do you do any of that for yourself?
I do. I actually use the angelic. You do? I always have. So
do you want to tell them who they are so they know?
Yeah, I call on Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Uriel, and Archangel Raphael.
So Raphael is east, Michael is south, Gabriel is west, and Uriel or Ariel, either or, is north. And then we call in Father, which is above, mm-hmm. cosmic, Mother, which is below, maternal, planetary, and then shield yourself. So. Mm-hmm. So again, we can do all of that, a combination thereof. You don't have to do any of it. You can simply think of it. You know, sometimes when I'm just really freaking tired and it's just like only highest and best, and then I go to bed.
Right.
That's my whole ritual.
Yeah.
But it's the intent, right?
It is. Yeah. It's like a nighttime prayer for me.
Is how it is. Yeah. It is. And it's really important for us to understand that this 4D realm is not a scary thing. It's not about fear. This is not about fear. But this is about awareness. Mm-hmm. This is about being diligent. This is about protection. So fear and protection is two different things. And we want to protect our space because, yeah, we don't want the garbage coming in, but we also don't want our resonance or frequency going out and finding something on a subconscious layer that doesn't serve us, mm-hmm. you know? So.
And that's what, I mean, when you talk about the 4D, you know, the astral plane. I mean, there's a lot of, I didn't understand that at first, how much of everything is going on in that bridge.
It's like a super highway.
It's like a super highway for everything. Yes. And so that's why it's really important, like you said, to work on, you know, making sure you're aware of what you're locking down in.
Well, and let's for allowing. A minute go back to Armageddon. Why do we find an Armageddon implant in 4D? Well, because in 4D, there's no time, mm-hmm. right? So the timescape is not there. So in 4D, I can either read a file, have a memory, get implanted, whatever. All of these are viable, you know, opportunities for me to remember the electric wars or a planetary destruction because it's all there. So I'm wading through multitudes of timelines and experiences that were indeed possibly real. Mm-hmm. And or manufactured to look real or holographically projected or inverted, right? I mean, that just goes on and on and on.
Well, and I think the visual of, I didn't realize until I watched like The Matrix, what some of that is like, the information and how The Matrix is set up.
You mean the real movie, The Matrix?
The real movie. Yeah, like, yeah. I couldn't get a visual. You know, you would talk about that before. And until I saw something like that, yep. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. And then you start to talk about the different dimensions, and it really made more sense
and
to me.
And time, remember, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I can think something is relevant right now because the timescape is twisted or inverted or whatever, and it doesn't have anything to do with this time. When I wake up, I think it has to do with this time, but it may have been eons and eons in another planetary system in a multi-universe, and I think it's relevant.
Right.
So we can get dicked with a lot in that dream space, and that, again, is not to scare anybody. This is just to be diligent and say, hey, I am the only one that is going to be in charge of my sovereignty and my freedom in this body. I am the only being that is going to be able to know my frequencies and do a truth check, because nobody's in here except for me, right? Yeah.
And I think truth check, I mean, obviously, check your gut, check your heart. Does it feel right or not? Sometimes, you know, something might have me kind of whipped up a little bit
in
your head. In my head. Where my pendulum works really great because I just can't quite calm it down enough to be really sure about what's coming out of my heart space.
Or plug your ears and close your eyes or do one of the other. Like plug your ears and watch the news and see, does that look real if I don't hear the bullshit that is being narrated?
Right.
Okay. Or close your eyes and listen to it and listen to that frequency and the verbiage that that person's using on the news. And it's like, I've heard that same exact verbiage. I mean, news is fascinating to me.
It's so amazing. When they play 10 channels and they're saying the same exact words. You're like, okay, I think they want us to really believe this is happening.
Yes. And it's like you get really smart when you learn how to play the game in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to go, oh, so the starseed, this is not a value. I keep saying it 1,000 times over because there isn't a value system of being a starseed or not. Because again, you're all starseed. But the starseed can see through the crap faster because you have more surface memories closer underneath that skin that's going, nope, 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 that's propaganda. Nope, that's not real. Nope, I can feel that frequency is wrong. Mm-hmm. Nope, I can see through that crap that is not real, et cetera, et cetera. And that comes really fast for the starseed. Mm-hmm. And that'll piss people off. Beyond myself included, we just had a conversation, earlier today that I still struggle with, you know, even family members can get very tough because they don't want to hear that, you know, and you just learn to smile.
What else can you do?
Yep.
Everybody's at their own level, you know, and that, like you said, it's not a knock on anyone or where they're at. But I hope this conversation, though, will trigger some things for people to really look inward and, you know, kind of feel more about where they're at with this.
And hopefully what my goal with these is to let the starseed know that you're not broken. You're not, you know, I did an event once, which was fascinating because we did a psychic gallery and I did a read on a young woman who was probably, I don't know, 24, 25. And unbeknownst to me, she was sitting next to her mother. And I had never met the girl in my entire life until the event. And I blurted out, well, you know, you're a starseed. And she's like, what is that? And I kind of went into this whole thing. And I went into this barrage of stuff. And she's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And the woman next to her is bursting out in tears. And I'm thinking, because they didn't look alike. And I didn't know that that was the mom. And I'm like, what is the deal here? And then I finally asked what was going on. And the mom's like, oh, my God, this is my kid. And everything you're saying, I have tried to fix in her for years because I thought something was wrong with her. And of course, the wonderful, beautiful little alien starseed child who's an adult, is going, you know, thank you, because I thought I'd been broken all this time. I thought I'd been a disappointment. I thought I did things wrong. I thought, you know, and the shame that these people carry for so many, you know, I was very fortunate. I didn't have anyone tell me that I was crazy and making it all up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have anybody validated either, but I didn't have anybody shame or say I was making it up or try to fix me or change me. So I was very fortunate in that regard. But, you know, not everyone's that fortunate. So the people like my client go under the radar because they don't want to be seen and they don't want to be heard. And we all deserve to be seen and heard. We all do. It's part of our birthright here. Mm-hmm. So hopefully these podcasts will maybe start to go, holy crap, that sounds like me, or that sounds like my kid, or that sounds like my nephew. And so these are to share and take what resonates. Like we always say, dump anything that doesn't, because we're not here to say this is right, this is wrong. But gosh, there's a lot of them out there and they're coming in droves.
Yeah. And I think especially younger children and newborns, and it's all changing. It's different now.
The star seeds are coming in fast and furious because they are here to change this planet. They are here to anchor the new frequencies. Their frequency abilities are different. They will be able to anchor the higher frequencies of love, light, and they will be the saviors of this planet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be aware, be prepared, and do your best to honor that if you choose, right?
And embrace being human. That's what this is all about. You're here to be human.
Yep. Thank you for knowing that, right? I'm still working on it, Kim.
I know, me too.
Every day. Okay, well, on behalf of Kim and I, thank you for listening. And I hope that that helps anybody out there. And if not, that's okay too. Take it for some entertainment value. So until next, everybody, cosmic hugs.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening. You'll hear from us again soon. And for any more information, please check out sworthley.com. Thanks.